Good afternoon. I will be talking about the African-American perceptions of the food and beverage marketing and about the balance between personal choice, individual responsibility, and the community's responsibility among African-Americans. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors and co-workers from the community as well as other institutions. When I did this work while I was at Duke University. That's why you see it listed there. So I'd like to credit my former institution as well as my current. Okay. I have no disclosure, no relationships to disclose. So I'm going to give an overview of the background and aims and talk about the study sample from both Prince George's County, Maryland, and Durham, North Carolina, talk about the methods briefly, cover the findings, and briefly talk about conclusions, and then Debbie will follow up with the other portion of this part of the framework that Shariki just presented. So as you see, the framework that has been covered, and Shariki talked about what has been part of the price paper, the price work that we did. And we now are getting into the pilot, which involves data from both Prince George's County, Maryland, and Durham, North Carolina. And we're going to talk about the consumer perceptions and marketing scenarios. Debbie's going to come and cover the latter part, but both of our groups did the same work as Shariki just mentioned. And so I will be talking about the pre-sensitization results. So we know that controlling obesity is difficult in communities that are heavily marketed, and this is particularly the case in African-American communities where sugar-sweetened beverages and high-fat foods are more commonly marketed than in other communities. But we don't know about the opinions of African-Americans about how these strategies, how they feel about strategies that are being marketed and used in their communities. So the aims of this pre-sensitization work was to identify African-American adult and adolescent pre-sensitization opinions of the use and impact of marketing strategies in their communities. We had a total of 71 participants at the pre-sensitization period. As you can see, in Durham and in Prince George's County, we had anywhere from 15 to 20 adults. They were primarily female, very similar. However, the difference between Durham and Prince George's County is that Durham had less formally educated participants and less that were married. We have 16 adolescents that were in Durham and 22 in Prince George's County, all of whom were the ages of 16 to 18 years. So we had separate focus groups for adults and for the adolescents. We had two adolescent focus groups that were gender specific, and I will be talking about just the pre-sensitization. So where you see it says convened at two different times, Debbie's going to be talking about the second time that these focus groups were offered, which gives us a total of eight. But in the pre-sensitization period, there were four. One with adolescent girls, one with adolescent boys, and then two adult focus groups. And this occurred both in Durham, North Carolina, and in Prince George's County, Maryland. So in Maryland, there were two adolescent focus groups and two adult focus groups, and in Durham. We did an anonymous demographic survey that was completed by both the adults and adolescents. And for the data that we collected qualitatively, we had interviews and we had focus groups that were transcribed. We had visual presentations, which were food marketing scenarios. And Shariki had already mentioned that we showed them photos and gave scenarios about things that were marketed to them, whether it be through celebrities, community events, whether it was review of fast food restaurants, awareness of the targeted marketing research by companies, targeted marketing of sweetened beverages, etc. We had them use an electronic auto response software device, so they were able to see what their responses were as a collective while they were answering the questions. So each one of them had clickers, and once they responded, they got a chance to see the distributions of the responses. Most of them were yes, no, or don't know questions about what they thought, whether they thought that this was a marketing strategy, whether they thought that their community was being targeted, yes, no, don't know. We audio taped each one of the sessions, and those were transcribed and coded. We did rapid assessment procedures for coding for this round. So what we did is we, both Maryland's site and the North Carolina site, had two independent reviewers of the transcripts that came up with themes, and they reviewed, then we reviewed those themes that were written down versus coding them, you know, like we would do if we had used in vivo software. And then we discussed those themes and came up with the findings that we will show. The sensitization booklet was given to them at the end of their focus group session. So after they had responded, they took home a booklet, which you'll hear about from Debbie, and they were to bring that back for the next focus groups that they were to attend. We had about four main themes, and what was interesting, and Debbie and I ended up talking about this after we both independently did our own rapid assessments, was that the responses were quite similar across both groups, despite the lower income group for Durham and compared to the Prince George's County. And what we came up with were these themes. The goal of business is to generate revenue while providing goods and services. So there's the clear awareness that businesses are in the business to do business. Targeted marketing of unhealthy foods and beverages can be controversial. So even I want to make my choices, I want to have my own choice, but I also want to make sure that there's healthy food available to me as well. Personal choice is desired in the presence of unlimited options. Well, I want to have the choice, but if the choices aren't available to me, that's a problem. And availability and price of healthier products is an issue, which Shariki already mentioned from our price paper, but this theme resonates still. So what I'm going to try to do is show you one video clip of a McDonald's advertisement. This should work. So there are a lot of things going on in that advertisement. I wanted to rock and move too, right? And so you see the family, you saw a middle-income African-American family, and you saw their child who, in some circumstances, would not look out of place, but you saw the disconnect between that middle-income family and this child who is now listening to rap, and they wanted you to see that disconnect, and they also wanted you to see how the father then reacted to the music, but the mother didn't. You saw that this child, he had his hat turned differently. He was completely dressed differently, and he was eating something different than the family. Do I want to be cool? Serve me this product from McDonald's. So some of the comments that came out, this one came from an adult male in Durham. If you notice something, you go to McDonald's when they show the Happy Meal commercial, the kids with the toys, what do you see? Black. I'm not saying it's morally right, but it's a marketing strategy from a business standpoint. And it was interesting because many of the male respondents had this viewpoint, is they've got to do what they've got to do. Another response from an adolescent male, the way I look at it is it's all about the business. Most businesses, don't just be honest, not that they don't care about the consumer, it's all about them and how they can make a profit. So they acknowledge that they've got to do what they've got to do in their eyes. Targeted marketing of unhealthy foods and beverages was considered controversial. What was interesting is that the adolescents felt proud to be targeted for marketing, because it came out with at least one child, and I think it also happened in Debbie's group as well. There was something to be said to actually be the trendsetter for all adolescents, whether white or black. So mostly the adolescents didn't necessarily mind being targeted for by marketers. But what they didn't like is if there was an unhealthy product and they were disproportionately targeted, that's what they didn't like. Parents, on the other hand, they just didn't like the process at all, and many of them felt that it was racist. Here you see little Wayne down at the bottom, and then you see the Rap Snacks, which is basically like a chip bag with little Romeo. So basically trying to appeal to black culture. And so one adult female said this, and like I said, there was a difference between genders. I think that it's stereotyping if you're assuming that because this neighborhood does a certain thing, that everybody in it, that everybody in that neighborhood wants unhealthy food over healthier foods. So the reason she made this comment was, in both Prince George's County, we also had this happen in Durham, is if people look at this, they didn't want the world to think that this is the only thing that represents black folks. And so the stereotyping is if this is the way that you're targeted all the time, then people think that this is the way everybody is and that we don't all want healthy food. Or that if somebody meets these kinds of this kind of physique, that they don't want healthy food either. And they don't want that stereotype. And continuing with unhealthy foods and beverages being controversial, an adolescent male from Prince George's said, "It matters to me because I don't want to be stereotyped, because like, okay, he's black, so he's going to churches every Friday for fish specials." So the stereotype of blacks always wanting chicken. And another adolescent male, it gets back onto, again, like racism, because like if they're selling us one thing and selling white people a different thing, they did not like that. Like I said, the adults did not like it at all, but the kids, they didn't like it if there was disproportionate advertising in their communities. Personal choice is desired in the presence of unlimited options. And so as I mentioned before, this is where they want to have the choice. So even if they choose not to have a healthy product that's there, they want the choice to be able to choose whatever they want. So if they want the snack cakes at the bottom, they want to have that choice. They don't want anybody telling them to do that. What they don't like, again, is this disproportionate advertising of unhealthy products or the lack of availability, which is our next theme. So here one adolescent female said, "I want to eat something that's what I want to eat, not what people think or the group is trying to sell." They want that personal choice, but they want the option of having a choice of healthy or unhealthy foods available to them. And another adolescent female, "At the end of the day, everybody's got choices. It doesn't matter what's being advertised. You can advertise what you want, but people are going to have choices. Meaning at the end of the day, we still have to appeal to the fact that people make the decisions that they're going to make. And finally, availability and price of healthier products is an issue. An adolescent female from Durham, "I do know neighborhoods that don't have supermarkets, and it makes it really hard for the people in that that neighborhood and that community to get the proper nutrition and maintain a consistent and healthy diet. I do care because in like the convenience stores I see around here, they sell bottled waters for like $2 and the little big old Coke for $1. I'm just saying it is real unhealthy. They're making the whole world fat." And so if you think about it, what they're not even just talking about is availability. There's an availability, but it goes back to the point that Shariki made in our previous presentation about price, is that you make the healthier product more expensive. I'm less inclined to purchase it. And so in conclusion, adults had acknowledged that businesses are primarily focused on making a profit, but they didn't perceive that targeted marketing of unhealthy foods and beverages was favorable. Adolescents acknowledged that businesses are primarily focused on making a profit, and they tended to feel indifferent about targeted marketing practices, and in fact were proud to be targeted as setting the role or the trend for all teens. However, they were offended that marketing of certain products was not equitable across race groups, and the adolescent males were even more vocal than the females. And both adolescents and adults expressed discontent about pricing and the availability of healthier foods and stressed the importance of personal choice in decision-making responsibilities, both for themselves as well as the community. I'd like to acknowledge our home team, which is in Philadelphia, and from Durham, I'd like to acknowledge our Johnny B. Boys and Girls Club and the Holton Career Resource Center and Prince George's County, the Patriots Training Technology Center, Bladen High School, and the University of Maryland. And now, Debbie will come up. Thank you.